Hey there, welcome to the Friday edition of Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Come on in, make yourself at home. Got a chair for you right here. We're going to tackle a tough question today. This is part of the, you know, I think we've been talking about this over the course of the past few weeks. This is not the first time we addressed the why question. Why, God, are you letting me suffer? Why am I going through this? It is a question that it can drive us crazy. I'm not going to tell you not to ask the question, but I am going to tell you that sometimes you will not get the answer you like. I mean, in this life, there are going to be things that God will do that you just won't understand. And there has to come a point, if you're looking for peace, if you're looking to do His will, if you're looking to really work on your relationship with Him, we're all going to get to that point where we're going to have to accept certain things, certain events, certain difficulties without getting a concrete answer. In other words, accept them and just having to trust that He knows what's doing. Let's take a look at some scriptural advice for that today. And again, you might, I'll be honest with you, you might struggle with the topic on this show today. There have been times that I have definitely struggled with this. This is not an easy thing to accept, because this is going to sound funny, but essentially what we have to realize is God knows more than we do. Right? I mean, it sounds silly, but every time we question Him, we're thinking, wait a minute, what you're doing, God, does not make sense. And while it's normal to do that, most of us at some point in our relationship with Him are going to do that. Unless we eventually learn to trust Him, we're never going to find the peace we're looking for. So that's all I want to say about it for now. Let's after the prayer, we'll talk more about it in depth. And then I want to also take a quick look at the Mass readings for today, from today's daily Mass. You know, these Lenten readings, they're tough. They're not easy sometimes to accept, because what's Lent all about? Lent is about trying to cooperate with the grace given to us by the Holy Spirit and become more in tune with the Father's will, to be more like Jesus. And that's no small undertaking. That's a difficult challenge for many of us. That's why if we're taking Lent seriously, it can be a challenging time. It can be a very rewarding time too. And especially if you're looking to experience peace in your life, and who isn't? We're all seeking peace. The more you come close to Christ and doing the will of the Father, the more peace you're going to feel. Now, you're not always going to it's not always going to be apparent that doing this, whatever this is, doing this by following the Father's will is going to bring you peace. But once you start doing it, then the peace comes. So that's what I'm going to talk about. It doesn't sound like a fun show, does it? But it's not going to be. As I'm saying this, I'm saying, wow, why would anybody hang out and continue to hear this? But it's all good, because look, we have to face this stuff. Otherwise, we're just going to get mad and let ourselves be overwhelmed and consumed by anger, by frustration, by lack of patience with life, with other people, with God, you know. But there is an answer. We just have to push through the pain a little bit, or the unpleasantness. And that's what I really try to do with all of my work, with all of my writing, with all of my speaking, is to help you to see that. The peace is there. The peace comes from following Christ, but the peace also comes from accepting your cross, which is part of following Christ. So that's today's program, but I really am glad you're here with me. Why don't we pray? Let's talk to Jesus in prayer today on this Friday episode of the program. Let's turn to Jesus in prayer and ask Him to help us. Would you join me? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we know that You are here present with us. So first, we just want to say thank You. We know that You left the comfort of heaven to enter our fallen world, not for Your own good, but for our good. Thank You for doing that, Lord. Jesus, thank you for the suffering, the humiliation, the lack of comfort that you endured for our sake. And we look forward, Lord, to living with you in heaven one day when our life on earth is over. But for the time being, we have work to do. We know that. We know that you want to continue your work in us, that through your Holy Spirit, you want to transform us into your image. We know that you would like us to follow the Father's will at all times, to break away from sin and to do his will. And we know, Lord, that you are always ready and willing to give us the assistance that we need to make all of this happen. During this Lenten season, Lord, we ask you through your Holy Spirit to enlighten us, to help us see the areas in our lives that need improvement. Please give us the courage and the fortitude needed to make these changes in our lives. Lord, we offer up all of our intentions. We give them to you this day. We ask you, Jesus, to keep us safe from the temptation and the attacks of the devil. And finally, Lord, I ask you to use me today as your instrument. Please give me the words for the show. Please give me the words and open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to hear what you have to say through me this day. Jesus, I ask this in your name, and I ask that you present these needs, these intentions, these requests to your Father, and through you, we know this prayer will be heard in union with the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. My name is Gary Zimek. This is Following the Truth. It's March the 12th. It's another beautiful day here in New Jersey. I hope you're having great weather wherever you are. This Sunday is going to be the fourth Sunday of Lent. Hard to believe. Laetare Sunday. This is the Sunday where the church encourages us to look forward, to look at the finish line. You know, after this is the fourth Sunday of Lent. There's a fifth Sunday the following week. Then there's Palm Sunday, followed by Easter Sunday. So you could see we have passed the halfway point of Lent. We are headed toward the finish line. And, you know, there's a good chance that at this point you're looking at what you've done and you're saying to yourself, I didn't do a good job. This Lent is wasted. It's not wasted. If we recognize the fact that there's still time, no matter when you make this realization, there's always time to amend your life. Now, certainly, even after Lent's over, there's time, but you want to try to make use of this holy season of Lent because of the fact that it has a beginning and an end. It's got a concrete start and end, which is going to inspire us or encourage us, whatever the word you want to use would be, to begin, to take this seriously, to begin this process of conversion, of metanoia, of changing the way you think internally, your relationship with God, so that overflows into your external actions. So, you know, we can change at any time, and certainly we should be trying to change our ways throughout the year, not just during Lent, but it's good to have a start and an end point because it helps us to take it seriously. Otherwise, we could just tend to put it off, but it's never too late. Look at the good thief on the cross. He was nailed to a cross. He couldn't do anything, couldn't move, but he still had his will, which is what we got too. And it was not too late for him to turn to Jesus and ask him to be remembered when Jesus came into his kingdom. And Jesus assured him that this day you will be with me in paradise. So if it wasn't too late for him, it is not too late for you and for me. Couple of quick notes. Followingthetruth.com is my website if you want to find out more information. The good news, the big news today is Give Up Worry for Good. My latest book is available officially today. I've heard from some people If you pre-ordered it, chances are you've received it already, so it's already been shipping out over the past couple of days, but you can officially order it right now. Give Up Worry for Good. It's designed as the follow-up to Give Up Worry for Lent. So if you're going through Give Up Worry for Lent, you're enjoying it, Give Up Worry for Good gives you a course of action after Lent is over. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go for that. All right, let's take a look at, speaking of Give Up Worry for Lent, let's look at the reading for today, Romans 8:35, and this is a great question, actually two questions from St. Paul, and it has to do with suffering. It has to do with difficulties, tribulations, trials, all those things that cause us so much grief in life. Here's what Paul says in Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? What Paul is getting at here, and I told you at the beginning of the show, this is not an easy topic. It's not an easy thing for me to present to you and sell it effectively. I really have to depend on the Holy Spirit with this one. What Paul is saying is that in this life, we will have tribulations of one kind or another. You know, we all have our own different share of a different variety of problems. You look at Paul's life, I mean, this guy had it really difficult. He was experiencing some severe persecution. But yet he could still talk about rejoicing. He could still talk about the fact that Jesus loved him. And what Paul is saying is that no matter what we are facing, what kind of suffering we're facing. And look, it's easy to look at the favorable events when things are going well in our lives and thank God for loving us, right? I mean, it's easy to see the love when you hit the lottery and win $1 million, as an example. We can, you know, you pray for something like that. It turns out in your favor. And yeah, Lord, I love you. Thank you. Thank you for loving me. It really feels good. But when you get the cancer diagnosis, it's not that easy because we're thinking in human terms. Now, one of the reasons I always pray at the beginning of this show is number one, so that I'll be able to deliver an effective message. And number two, that you and me will be able to hear what I am saying. And I'm trying to deliver the message that I believe is given to me by the Holy Spirit, and try to hear what's in Scripture that I read on this program, and really, with the help of the Holy Spirit, be able to hear God speaking to you a message. I mean, that's why I pray at the start of the show, because I really want not only to make sure that I deliver the right message, but I want your mind to be enlightened by the Holy Spirit so that even if the message is uncomfortable, that you're open to hearing what God wants you to hear. This is one of those messages. Whatever you're going through in life, we know by faith that God is all-powerful, right? I mean, he is all-powerful. He can do all things. We know by faith that God loves us. So, and we know by faith that God is with us at all times. So he is aware of our circumstances. So if you put all that together, if something happens in your life that is not pleasant, sickness, job loss, loneliness, sudden death of a friend or a family member, if something happens, a persecution of one kind or another, you know, not always physical persecution, but some kind of persecution. If this happens and God is all-powerful and he loves you, you put all that together, right? Somehow, whatever it is that's happening to you is an expression of his love. Because he's all-powerful. And if he loves you, and that thing that's causing you the grief was not good for you, then because he's all-powerful, he could stop it. You know, so, I mean, this is a tough one for all of us, something we wrestle with, something that we see echoed throughout the Bible. But it's something that I assure you, if you're looking for peace, you're going to have to accept. And sometimes in your heart, you have a hard time with this one. If God loves me, how in the world can he let this happen to me? Well, you might not like the answer, because as you're going through it, and please understand, I am not trying to downplay anything you're going through. I am not. Because I've been on the other end of what I'm about to say. And you don't, and I generally don't want to hear it, but I'm starting to learn as I continue to walk with Christ, to try to get closer to him and try to depend on the Holy Spirit. I'm starting to learn that this answer is the truth. If something bad or unpleasant is happening in your life, it's because God loves you. He is allowing that to happen, both for your growth spiritually, so you can learn to trust him more. Ultimately, so that you can carry your cross, which is a requirement for following Jesus. It's what he said. You pick up your cross daily and follow him. Unite your suffering with the suffering of him. And also, believe it or not, your cross is the way you're going to find peace in life, because the true way to find peace is by doing God's will. That's crazy, Gary. That makes no sense. I know. To the conventional wisdom of the world, the way you and me think, it makes no sense. But I would ask you to just consider that, because really that's what Paul is saying today. I don't care what's happening to you, he's saying. You are not separated from the love of Christ. Christ is showing his love for you in those circumstances, in those things that you view to be so horrible, in those things that are causing you so much pain. But this is the beauty of Christianity. It really equips us to deal with whatever it is that we're facing in the world. The challenges, the misery, the struggles. Because if we can become immunized from all the junk that's happening, then nothing externally can affect us. You've got what you need. Every morning you wake up, you've got God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit all present with you. And nothing that happens around you can take away the joy that you can feel, that you can experience, that you can practice. Because joy is really a reaction. It's a reaction to the presence of God with you, in you. And that's a good place to be. To know that I don't care what happens, I'm going to still feel good. Or maybe I shouldn't say feel good, but feel good's not a good expression. I still can be at peace no matter what's happening. It might hurt, but I'm at peace because I know I'm doing God's will in this suffering. That doesn't mean you don't do anything to eliminate your suffering. If you're sick, you go to the doctor. That's what God wants you to do. If there's something you can do, certainly do it. But then when you relinquish that control and you surrender to God, just as Jesus did, in a very powerful way. I mean, we see it. He did it throughout his life, but we see it on the night before he died in his agony in the garden. Father, if it's possible, please let this cup of suffering pass me by, but not as I will, but your will be done. That's an expression of the fact that Jesus was suffering. He was not having a great time in that garden. But he was able to deliver up his human will, the will that you and I have, and say, God, I want your will to be done. Father, your will be done. Not an easy thing. But that doing God the Father's will, that's what Jesus did. That's what he wants you to do. And that's what's going to bring you the peace that you're looking for. You know, and I would just say, with some of this message I'm delivering today, it doesn't have to make you feel good. If it leaves kind of a yucky taste in your mouth, that's okay. But just work with it. Let the Spirit work with you on this one a little bit. Because it really does make sense. We are all, with the power of the Holy Spirit flowing in us, it's possible for us all to be able to do God's will and to experience His peace. But we are not going to be able to do it on our own. That's why Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit to help us. All right, so that's the Give Up Worry for Lent verse of the day. It's an important one. It's one that I really felt that I needed to talk about today. Let's look at the gospel, because there's some really good stuff. The gospel from today's Daily Mass, and I do think these tie in together if we look close enough. It's Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" And Jesus replied, "The first is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' The scribe said to him, 'Well said, teacher, you are right in saying he is one, and there is no other than he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And no one dared to ask him any more questions." It's a great message. It's a tough one. When Jesus was asked by one of the scribes, by one of the religious people, not by one of the unbelievers, but by one of the religious folks, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus said this, and he reiterated something from the Old Testament. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." Now remember, love is an action. It's a conscious decision. It's an act of the will to essentially place the needs of God, the will of God, before your own needs and your own will. In other words, to do what you can to please God. That's what love is. Love is willing the good of another, or putting the other before you. And when Jesus reminds us that we're called to do that with all our soul, our mind, our strength, and our heart, with essentially all of our body, all of our will, everything we got to put God first, that's a tough one. And then he said, the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. The second, I mean, this is the whole command. This is all the commandments summarized for us. And yet when we look at all of the ways in life that we don't put God and his will first, and it really starts with questioning what he's doing in our lives. "Lord, I don't want this suffering. I don't like it. It doesn't make me happy. Take it away." And that's fine. That's a valid prayer. But when he doesn't take it away, how do we respond? With anger? Or do we accept that his will be done? You know, so every time we don't do that, whenever we have, and look, this is absolutely very normal. Very, very normal for us, for people, to question, to struggle like this. So if you do question, if you're having a hard time with this, join the club. Many of us are. But the what we do with that at this point in time is what matters. Do we want to get better? I do. I'm terrible at this suffering business. But I do want to get better. Why? Because Jesus is telling me that I should. That I am just feeling this inner drive to want to do the Father's will, to become more like Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. And if you're feeling it too, good for you. You know, the intent, your intention is more important than your results. The results are important. But if you don't do it for the right reason, even if you succeed in doing God's will, but your heart's not all in, you might be doing it out of pride or something, that's going to please God less than when you sincerely want to become holier, to do his will, and you fall on your face and fail. Your intent to do it is what matters to him. He reads your heart. So today, let's, you know, as we're in Lent, let's ask the Holy Spirit to continue to guide us, to let us know, what are these problem areas? Where am I not putting God first in my life? Where am I saying, my will be done, not thy will be done? And then pray for the grace to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to make some changes, to be more Christ-like. And as we bring this show to a close, I just want to say that suppose during Lent you had 50 opportunities to do God's will or your will. And in 49 of those cases you failed, but in one instance you knew what God wanted you to do. You wanted to do something else, but you chose to do his will. You succeeded one time. Why don't you celebrate that instead of getting upset that you failed 49 times? You know, it's gradual. It's a process. Hang in there. We can do this. All right. Hey, if you have questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Don't forget, my podcast, The Gary Zimak Show, is available. It'll contain some insights into the Sunday Mass readings. Make sure you check that out. In the meantime, check out my website, followingthetruth.com, for more information about how to order Give Up Worry for Good. God willing, I plan to be back with you here on Monday. I hope you'll be able to join me. Have a great weekend. God bless you. Talk to you next time.